Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight's episode is about the focus of the preacher's messages in the 50th anniversary of Selma. President Obama attended, but I'm focusing more on the black preachers of the African Methodist Episcopalian Church. The one that stood out the most was Bishop Samuel Green of the 12th District, and I'll explain why in a minute. Let's open with these remarks from our president.
Just imagine that when a younger John Lewis woke up that morning 50 years ago and made his way to Brown Chapel, heroics were not on his mind. A day like this was not on his mind. Young folks with bedrolls and backpacks were milling about. Veterans of the movement trained newcomers in the tactics of nonviolence, the right way to protect yourself when attacked. A doctor described what tear gas does to the body, while marchers scribbled down instructions for contacting their loved ones.
Okay, so they were commemorating the 50th Bloody Sunday at the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Alabama some 50 years ago. I was 3 years old. Now, I just wanted to, I was watching C-SPAN tonight that covered four preachers, and Andrew Young, who is very well known in the civil rights field and also eventually became a congressman who was friends with Dr. King, spoke. In my opinion, he was completely off base. He said, it's not about black and white. It's about green and global. He is trying to add the diversity of the modern world into the mix. At that time, 50 years ago, in the Selma March, it was about black and white because it was about a lack of acceptance of a race that white people thought were inferior, even though they had subjugated them as foreigners in their own homeland and they had no rights as citizens, so to speak. So it wasn't, as Andrew Young said, about green and global. It was about the color blood red. Who was given the right to live and who was given the right to live with dignity or to be beaten up for standing up for marginal rights. Now, Bishop Samuel Green got it right from the AME Church, 12th District. His opening line was, it's good to know Jesus. And with that humility of his sermon, he was able to deliver a speech with the reminder of the context of the history that they were representing. But then good old Jesse Jackson was like the fifth speaker, and he asked everybody in the congregation to give $500 to keep the Little Brown Chapel going, which I thought was rather tacky on national TV. And that's right before they stepped off out of that Brown Chapel to go back to the church where John Lewis led his congregation. With those opening remarks, I'm going to let John and Bob in. Good evening, John and Bob.
Hello.
Greetings,
it's a balmy
Jane.
37 in Duluth, Minnesota, 37 degrees.
Mercy. Thank God for California, the land of
the
free.
No, that's the warmest it's been in 6 months.
Really?
We had a beautiful day. It was sunny and warm.
Well, we had excellent weather out here. How was the weather over with you, Bob?
Probably only a little bit different from what you had. You know, it was in the 80s here in the San Fernando Valley.
Lovely.
Was it apocalyptic rain again?
We had a flash of that a couple days ago. By the way, a little news flash. We might add that, you know, for our listeners, sometimes you listen to get information and to, you know, have your mind stimulated a little bit. The Johnny Psychic Hotline is open. I think we talked about several episodes back about the effect of, and this ties into what we're talking about today, is with Bruce Jenner and having his sex change thing. And at the time, I said...
The nefarious prank caller?
And at the time, I said, well, you know, he's been so demasculine by the family that he's basically becoming like them. He's just going to do things to steal their spotlight. And I'm getting some groceries.
Well, I think Bob should know the topic tonight before you go on that tangent. The question tonight is, since when do gay people get to hijack the 50th anniversary of the Selma March?
Right.
And they grafted the bloody struggle on that bridge into their own sense of justice.
Their own agenda. Well, it kind of in line with that, you know, the headline at the grocery store, the one of the magazines, either Us Weekly or whatever, it was a major one. It just says Kardashians canceled, their show canceled, replaced by Bruce Jenner. And I talked about how he would just probably become like them, just do sensational things to steal the spotlight. And, you know, here we have a situation with the Selma March where I think you're going to see over the next few years the big thing is going to be not just gay rights, it's going to be transgender rights. It's going to be like not just wanting equality, but demanding that we acknowledge and respect and that we not say anything counter, to have a counter opinion to people manipulating their bodies in unnatural ways.
Well, I don't mind if they make a reference to civil rights struggles, but I don't want it to be the centerpiece. And even Joe Biden made some kind of remark about gay rights during this thing. And to me, it's an insult because black people didn't have a choice whether they were going to be treated as second-class citizens. And they struggled for years where they couldn't even open their mouths about anything. And then all of a sudden, like you said, John, infamously, even Joe Biden puts his two cents in, and that's really not what the ceremony was about yesterday.
Right. Well, technology is taking us past the safe boundaries that we as humans are equipped to handle. You're going to start seeing, you know, not just like everyone needs to be gay, it needs to be transgender, trisexuals, head transplants. You know, they're talking about in the next few years transplanting the head. Like, where's your soul? Is it in your body? Is it in your brain? You know, I mean, you could transplant a, you know, an arm or a leg or a heart. What about the head? And the point of what I'm saying is, you know, I mean, when Obama ran for president, you know, I think one of the catchphrases was, "Yes, we can." I think the question now for technology is not can we, but should we? We're delving into areas and into challenging, you know, American culture and tradition and family values with things. Can we do these things? Sure we can. But should we? Morally, are we ready for the consequences of the path that we are heading down?
I don't know. I think it's beyond our control. This whole media blitz thing, like you said, because of the lack of barriers in social media and people wanting to elaborate on things. Go ahead, Bob.
It's more than just a lack of barriers. There's a certain element that has an agenda to take control of things. In recent years, it has gone from mere acceptance of homosexuality to the next step is that to place it up front, you know, in the spotlight, you know, all the time. There's a problem with Hollywood. There's a serious problem with Hollywood. I'm not going to be politically correct for the next minute or two. It's run by Jews, but more than that,
the Jews that run it are not your average Jews. They're Jews with an agenda, you know, and the agenda is basically money for the Jews.
Well, is it too? I'm wondering, is it Jewish only in name, but not in values? You know, because traditional Jewish.
Right, How did the Jewish angle get parlayed into this?
Because I was talking about problems, serious problems in the media, and I was saying that the two things that are wrong with Hollywood, one is that it's controlled by a certain type of Jew, and the second is that there's so many, and have been from almost the beginning, so many what were 15, 75 years ago hidden homosexuals, to now it's becoming quite open. You get
a talk show from it. You get status, and you get position and power. Now, interesting thing too, though, with Bob saying, if we were a national radio show, this would hit the headlines, and they would just crucify, you know, you. They crucify me for not jumping and attacking you and putting you in your place. And this is worse. This is America. We should be able to have a different opinion, and especially to reinforce our values of what we've had traditionally. And now people are afraid to. We're hiding in corners. There's a movie coming out, Chippy, that just came out, and I haven't seen it, but I've had talked to friends who have. It's the basic concept is having a robotic, you know, android, humanoid computer thing or whatever running around, that they're programming to have reason and emotion. And we're getting to a point where are humans going to have jobs if robots and automated systems are replacing human jobs? We're seeing the abolishment of humanity, of humans. It's being replaced by some androgynous, multisexual, just whatever society wants to create, this Tower of Babel that we're making. And we're wondering why people are so confused and so medicated to try and numb themselves from reality. What's your take on that, Jane?
You know, just basically, my whole thing was, is I grew up in my parents' basement watching speeches from MLK, RFK, and JFK years upon end, for 10 years straight. And I don't want to mix different civil causes. I'm scared to go there sometimes on what my feelings are about gay rights. I believe, you know, they should have civil rights and they should not be persecuted. But someone getting beaten, their ass beaten, having to live in for years as a slave, on a plantation and having the shit beat out of them, and then finally standing up for their rights and getting tear gassed and beaten. It waters down the value of someone like myself who lived through it, and it just goes to show how much the world has changed.
Right, but I could see, though, however, from the homosexual viewpoint, that what they'll say is that for years they've been beaten up and some killed, and definitely, you know, beaten down in the press, the media, or in the arts and entertainment. So I can understand that angle, I mean, from where they're coming from. I think we should respect people for their decisions. I don't agree with them. I don't agree with certain, you know, viewpoints or values, but I'm not going to run around and protest and throw steak knives at people who are counter my viewpoints. On the other hand, I don't want to, and I don't have kids, but if I had kids, I would not want my kids going to school and having other values forced on them and them made to feel like they're inferior people because they have, they believe in God and they believe in family. You know, that's just to me is so wrong. But kind of going back to your point about the whole Martin Luther King, kids, like as you were saying, we grew up listening to, hearing what the presidents would speak and talk about and inspirational things. Kids nowadays, they could care less what President Obama or Bush or Clinton have said. they're busy listening to Family Guy, The Simpsons, you know, whatever is on the TV, and it's not, they're not getting good values from those shows, I can tell you that.
And the reason they're not getting values, good values, is because there's a certain element in Hollywood that has an agenda to change public. See, here's what I'm going to say: radical homosexuals. I don't use the word gay. I usually use the word homosexual. If I'm really pissed, I say faggot. They want to have a society where homosexual men can be touchy-feely with straight guys to see if they can get a response, and they don't want to have a society where they're saying, oh, it's wrong for you to touch another guy. That they invented the term homophobic. Now, the word phobia means fear. I'm not afraid of homosexuals, but I dislike them. Sometimes that comes opposed to hate, you know. Maybe
I remember you telling me that when I first met you. Now, I worked almost daily with a gay guy, and we were just casually talking one day about donating plasma. And I said, do you ever donate plasma? And he said, no, I'm on the National Registry for Homosexuals. So just by his identity, he has to refrain from donating plasma because of the possibility of unsafe sex.
There was a time back in the mid-80s when all homosexuals were forbidden from donating blood and plasma because of the whole thing with AIDS. But that has changed, and I think.
Well, what if you're a non-active homosexual, like you haven't had a booty call in 5 years?
That's what I'm saying. I believe it's changed. You know.
Well, what is
all I know
is
that I have nothing wrong with people's. I don't want to go public in the sense of saying I'm for or against somebody's lifestyle choices. And I remember Ernest saying, I hate when they say gays have a lifestyle. But basically...
And it's not a lifestyle because you don't get
children from... I don't treat people differently
from
if they're gay. I might be more curious about their life. Like, but to their face, I don't treat them different. But in this particular sense, the issue that's close to my heart is like, They mentioned the Ferguson, one of the preachers, like that Andrew Young, that guy who was Dr. King's right-hand man, who ended up becoming a congressman and the head of some civil rights committee. You know, we're going to go, it's not about black and white, it's about green and global. Like, so if we fix the whole environment, is that going to make all the world's problems go away? Or if we see the world through a different set of lens, it's going to make hatred dissolve. I mean, that was just such a diffusing statement for me. But I don't really want to blame Bob. I don't want to blame Hollywood fully. However, I am watching a mid-90s television show, Dawson's Creek. And they, you're right, Bob, they did infuse a lot of topics into that teenage drama. One person was gay. One was about to lose their virginity. One fought with their grandma over the Bible. So, yes, Hollywood does have an agenda, but now that the gay mantra is so widespread, maybe that's the bigger question, not this thing on Selma.
Hollywood made the gay agenda more widespread. And the reason Hollywood did it is because Hollywood is filled with homosexuals that, this is their agenda. What many of them want is the day when it's okay for a 35-year-old homosexual to put his hands on a 14-year-old boy and have that not be illegal.
Where did that take place?
It happens every day, Jane. But it's illegal.
Well, we're definitely...
Did you know in the old days that Like one time, I don't really want to get into it, but I slept with someone 6 years younger than me, and back in certain decades in America, they're making a lot bigger issue now about people sleeping with teenagers than they did in the past. But the fact of the matter is, a relative of my son's got deported for sleeping with a 16-year-old who lied about her age. So I don't see homosexuals sleeping with 14-year-olds that often unless they're seducing them on the street.
Well, you have to realize, too, from the different angles, like, example, usually gay men are going to prey on younger men. Now, I've lived a very sheltered, conservative, Christian life, you know, call it naive even. And I can tell you this, at the age of 13, I had a person in the choir come visit. We lived up in the country, up in the Eastwood Hills. And somehow he found, you know, our address or whatever, came driving down the driveway, about mid-30s gentleman. And Ben was his name. I don't know his last name, so he's safe. He was in the choir, and they used to make fun of him. And he was always had styled hair and nice clothes, and he always was hanging out with this other guy, friend. And they looked
was
like they were
in San Jose?
San Jose, and it was kind of, so the Bay Area was a hotbed in the, you know, 80s for, you know, the gay, and 70s and 80s for the gay lifestyle or gay trend. And so he would sing in the choir, and people would make fun of him. Like, the younger kids, they go, oh, you know, he's queer. And I remember kind of defending him. I said, listen, you don't know this person. You're just judging by the hour. Just, you know, shouldn't say bad things about people. So here comes Ben driving down the driveway. And we're living out in the country. I mean, this is like you can imagine, like, in the middle, you know, Dorothy, Wizard of Oz. And, you know, here comes Ben down the driveway. And it's like, oh, hey, what's up, Ben? You know, it's like, wow, how'd you end up here? He said, oh, I'm just looking for a house up here to rent. And then notice there's an empty one down the street. You know, it's got a vacancy sign, and they're possibly selling or renting. And I wanted to check it out. Are you familiar with the area? I said, oh, yeah, that house, you know, they've been working on it a little. And so we went there. You know, I'm very naive and sheltered Christian. And we go in the house, and it's kind of abandoned, and there was a dog even in there on a chain. Fortunately, it was on a chain. But it was barking and growling and foaming at the mouth. And I said, Ben, I think we need to leave. Anyway, I dressed up normally church, and he's like, wow, these are really great jeans you have. It's like, you know, what are these? I said, oh, it's Angel Flights. You know, they were very popular back then. He said, do you have those tailored? I said, oh, no, it's, you know, just bought it right off the rack that way. He's like, really? And so he's like kind of grabbing the seam, and he's like, you know, those are great. Where do you buy them at? And he's asking all these different questions. And as he's asking, suddenly his hand is reaching down my pants and going towards an area that definitely I was not expecting. And I just kind of grabbed his hand and said, you know, Ben, I really have to go. We you know, we're having supper, and it's, you know, it's about six or so.
How old are you?
13.
Jesus Lord.
And when I start sharing that story, with other
finish,
people,
but I think we're getting to the unusual, not the common.
Well, to tie up what Bob was saying, when I start sharing that story with different, you know, people over the years, guys would say, you know what, the same thing happened to me, you know, with the wrestling coach, with this person and that teacher and da-da-da-da-da. But it was in the closet. You know, we didn't talk about it. I mean, I didn't go blabbing around and telling everyone, hey, I just about got molested here by Ben in the choir. I can only imagine how many other people he approached with that.
Who did you tell?
I didn't tell anyone.
Go ahead, Bob.
I wanted to, and I had such rage after that.
Let's have Bob talk. We're kind of shouting
I'm saying
about.
That this is pretty central to the whole. I'm going to use the word gay, to the whole gay agenda, the unspoken part of their agenda. This is one of the you know, several things they want. You know, and it's wrong to bother. It's not only wrong for homosexuals to try to molest young boys. It's also wrong for adult males to be chasing after underage girls. That's also wrong. I think incest inside the family, heterosexual incest inside the family, is probably the biggest unaddressed social problem in this country. In college, I met so many girls.
Could you repeat that, please?
I think that heterosexual incest inside the family is probably the biggest unaddressed social problem in this country. It's something that's not made a big deal.
Luckily, I grew up in a normal family, and I only knew two gays in White Bear Lake, Minnesota, and by the age of 21, I had committed suicide because of his maladjustment. Not because people shunned him, but he couldn't cope.
Well, imagine, though, too, in my situation, I had, moral upbringing. I had a pretty good sense of right and wrong. Imagine if I was going to school and they were telling me all these urges and things are just normal and it's up to you to decide, in fact, if you want to have this cut off or that added on, and take some medication and do this and do that. And I'm not even talking just about sexually. Like, what about, hey, you need an extra arm. We can start grafting on three arms instead of two, and you can put eyes in the back of your head. I mean, people don't realize what technology is doing. People are going, pedal to the metal, fast forward as fast as we can get information and change things, and let's get it approved ASAP. Let's go to, the Food and Drug Administration and stamp it. This is safe to use. It's like you haven't tested this stuff for, two or three generations. You don't understand the consequences of it. It's safe to use. And I'm just saying, a lot of things are going to get green-lighted. You're going to see with your kids, they're going to be taught values and things that to explore and to delve into the new. And with movies promoting this, kids, there's a whole generation of kids going, we could have she-males and, fembots and all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's normal. I mean, this has just been the last 20, 30
years. I do
want
to make an announcement about the show. I accidentally... Yeah. Picked the time slot for 15 minutes, so it's going to cut off in 3 minutes.
Okay.
But my final statement, I'll let you and Bob finish, is my final statement is that they could have chosen something like Ferguson, where there's been unrest with authority and perception in the black and white community, rather than the gay mantra to highlight struggles in America. What is your thoughts, guys?
Well, for me, I'll say follow the truth wherever it leads you, unless it's a vacant, isolated building with a man named Ben and you're 13 years old. That I can say for sure.
I'm really sorry that I cut the show off early. What is your you guys, I apologize. Bob, what's your final thoughts?
Well, related to all this is the whole issue of police brutality, and I think that there is way too much police brutality in this country. I don't think that the incident in Ferguson. I think it's unfortunate that that became the focus, because in that case, the young black man was. Probably deserved to be shot, maybe not to be killed, but he definitely deserved to be shot for his actions. He was not the what actually happened is about the complete opposite of what was portrayed in the media. However, that so much for Ferguson. However, at the same time it was happening, was it maybe in Cleveland, that 12-year-old kid who had...
Tamir Rice was killed. He's 12.
Yes, and at 12, okay, that 12-year-old kid who had like a water pistol or a plastic... toy gun or something, and the police shot him dead within a couple of seconds of when the police car came to a stop. He should have been the poster boy. That 12-year-old kid with the plastic gun should have been the poster boy for the anti-police brutality campaign, because he is a true example of an extreme case of the whole problem.
Well said, Bob. Very well said. And I forgot to add, follow the truth wherever it leads you, even if it's bad timing and daylight savings.
Yes. Well, this has been quite an exciting episode, and